I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Okay, welcome to this session. Episode.
Yeah, episode's good.
Episode of the Jillian Michaels with Janice show. We're all pumped up today. We're on fire. Because, of course, we're opening with my most favoritest, admiredest, most intelligentest doctor in the whole friggin' world. I know you guys know who I'm talking about, Dr. Katya Van Hurley, who is the rock star endocrinologist. I mean, I could go on that we had on the show a few weeks back, but you guys also know her from my cruise and from Losing It. And we are going to start the show with Dr. V's top 7, and today it's going to be the top 7 things you can do to get energized. Dr. V!
Hi, Jillian. How are you?
How'd you like that totally bizarre intro?
That was very energized.
Don't you wish you were on the Oprah show? And she's like, this Oprah would never do this to me. I wanted to make it different for you, Dr. V.
You're very energized, S, like all the S. So, Jillian, that's why I love working with you. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Okay, hit me. Talk to me
okay.
About the top 7 things that we could do here.
Top 7 things to get energized. Of course, we all know in our mind's eye and in our own hearts what things get us going. But I'm going to give you 7 examples of things that we see as endocrinologists and internists and just folks in general.
Okay.
Number 1, sleep. Sleep is one of the things we all know makes a lot of sense, but here's why it's so critical.
Okay.
Our brain, our pituitary, makes one of the most essential fountain of youth hormones called growth hormone.
Right.
And growth hormone, and people that take it know it as HGH.
Of course.
Human growth hormone.
Yeah.
Growth hormone is made in a very careful, pulsatile fashion. That means in little spurts.
I was just about to be like, Dr. V, you're hitting me with the pulsatile?
Yeah, pulsatile.
I like a little spurt. Thank you for the
squirt.
Immediate dictionary answer.
Uh-huh.
Okay, gotcha.
So little squirts that happen somewhere, let's say around 11 p.m. or thereafter. Now, here's the trick. And when I say sleep, I really mean, you know the old adage, your mom tells you get to bed or you won't grow?
Yes.
That's probably where this comes from. But the idea is if you're a night owl and you're staying up, and which is also very difficult in work that we do as physicians, late shifts and so forth, and you're not getting to bed by 10, 11, and you're not getting into good REM sleep, you're not making that growth hormone. So what we call good sleep hygiene, again, trying to get to bed, making sure that by 10:30, 11, maybe you watch the news, but then lights out and you've got to get to sleep. And if you're not getting to sleep, you're not going to make growth hormone. you're going to feel what some of my patients even describe as being hungover. They feel dehydrated.
Wow.
They feel they've got more wrinkles. They think they feel older. They feel the blahs. So good sleep, getting to bed on time. And it sounds so simple, but Jillian, it's really one of the most important things, and people forget it. And they forget
flying. They don't prioritize it. It's like, okay, I'm going to burn the candle at both ends, and they think that that's the thing they can sacrifice the most.
You just can't. So even if you get to bed and you've got to set your alarm early, like a lot of us do, get to bed, get into REM, let those little squirts of growth hormone come out, because if you do it day in, day out, you're going to feel better, and that's where your energy comes from. So that's number one.
Okay, wait. I got a question, Dr.
Yep.
V. Can you tell me the minimum and the maximum? Because what if people are only able to get 6 hours? Is that going to cut it? And what if is there any truth to the idea that you can oversleep?
Right. So they're really good questions, Jillian. So people have gone in both ways. They say as you get older, you need less sleep and so forth. Well, all of those things, in my opinion, and this is my personal opinion as a clinician, aren't really right.
Okay.
Sleep is like your own jacket. You've got to put it on, and you've got to know if it fits for you. So some people traditionally can get to bed around 10:30, 11, 11:30, and they get 6 hours of sleep, and they do just great. But you know how all of us have that balance? We have our own scale, and some people will just say, I have to get 8 hours of sleep. And guess what? If you do, then you do.
Okay.
So is there too much sleep? The only time there's too much sleep in people that are heavily medicated, depression, that'll cause you to sleep and sleep and sleep. So now you're talking about people that say, gosh, I've gotten 9 hours, 10 hours.
Right.
I need more sleep. By the way, we forget that our teens who want to stay up late and all that, when you're in your teenage years, you need more sleep again.
Okay.
You're going through puberty.
Right.
Your body's working to grow and change. So too much sleep, meaning I feel like I need more than, say, 9 to 10 hours. Now you have to think about, are you being medicated? Do you have depression? Are you not exercising enough? And is there another, what we call metabolic problem, thyroid, cortisol? Are there other issues?
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. Number two, hydration. Again, sounds so simple, but I don't know if any of you have seen this, but you know when your flowers are wilting and you've been working too much and you haven't been able to fill the vase again, or your plants are wilting, and then you fill it back up with water, what do you see within hours? Those rosebuds start opening, the leaves start coming back up. Humans are the same way. And
what a great analogy, actually, that is. That's a fabulous analogy.
Well, Jillian, we wilt. We actually wilt. And you can see this primarily in children because they have such an amazing reserve. So let's say a child has a fever or is sick or has been running around doing too many sports. They've got the blahs. They're feeling lagging. By the way, adults get this too. You give them a whole bunch of really good, you know, cold water. Okay, electrolyte drinks are fine as well, but we like also coconut water. Coconut water is very similar to our own what we call extracellular fluid. That means the fluid that helps keep our tissues really plump and keeps our skin really nice and keeps our organs running really smoothly.
Okay.
So water, simple even water, if you're not hydrated, and most of us are probably 1 to 2 liters at least dehydrated every day.
Really?
We're doing too many things. We're not drinking enough fluid. And what happens is you get the blahs from it.
Okay, what if I'm drinking, all right, here's a good question that I get a lot. What if it's tea? What if it's coffee? What if it's other, but even though we say don't drink your calories,
great.
What if I'm drinking, you know, let's say an honest tea, which I do all the time.
Right.
Does that count for my water, or is that dehydrating me because there's a slight amount of caffeine in it?
Yeah, and even if it's decaf, because again, your questions are always right on target, Jillian. What happens if you take even decaffeinated teas, and I'm a believer in the green teas and even some of the black teas, the English teas, because of some of the anti-inflammatory effects and maybe anti-cancer effects. But the problem is when I tell people if you have tea or let's say a coffee or any of those, even organic teas, always think you've got to have your tea, but then whatever you just drank in your tea, you got to match it with a glass of water the same size.
Got it. Okay. And I have a question for you. What about that hydration pee test? Have you heard about that? Like if your pee looks like lemonade, you're hydrated. If it looks like apple juice, you're not. What do you think about that?
So that's actually, that's a really good test. In fact, we talked about this before, and we can do a top 7 on looking at things in the toilet.
Right.
But here's what's really important.
We want that segment, Dr. V. Janice is jumping up and down. Next time. I'm sorry.
Okay,
go on.
So top 7 things in the toilet. And the thing about that, and it's really important to become your own investigator, your own PI of your pee. Because what ends up happening is if you are not taking a whole bunch of vitamins, because that can make your urine look more yellow.
Right, and that becomes confusing for people.
I was just going to say, very confusing. But for, let's say for those of us that aren't taking that, or other agents, like there's bladder agents, there's a medicine called Peridium that can turn your urine a certain color.
Okay.
But for most of us, you can actually use the gauge of looking how clear or how concentrated is your urine.
Got it.
The other good gauge is how often do I have to go. So in other words, if you're looking at drinking, let's say, an 8-ounce, 16-ounce bottle of water, like an average bottle you'd be walking around with, pretty much within about 1 to 2 hours, you're going to go to the bathroom or you're going to feel some sense of an urge. And if you keep doing that, it's about a two-hour window, 2 to 3 hours, that you're going to sense, okay, I'm really hydrating well because I have to go use the bathroom.
Got it. Okay.
Good. So let's go to number three. And this is up your alley, Jillian, because it's exercise.
Oh, I'm a pro.
Yeah, you're
I'm going to win this one,
pro,
Dr. V.
But I think part of why you are so successful in what you do and helping guide our patients and getting people to their best fitness is because what? Exercise. I mean, you can talk to this better than anyone. When we exercise, we make so many great hormones that are like a shot of adrenaline, a
right.
shot of a boost that you
right.
can't get out of a quick drink. You can't get out of a tablet. It wakes up endorphins in the brain.
Yep.
I mean, Jillian, this is where you need to step in because you know exactly about how this is really a shot in the arm and gives people energy.
That's so true. And I think that it's, Dr. V, I have a question for you, even though I know you told me to step in. I want to clarify, how long do you think they need to do that to get the optimal hormone release? Because
right.
I say they got to go at least 30 minutes.
Yeah. So the new studies have come out that actually even show it's up to 45 minutes. But
there you go. Okay. Because I've get in those fights with people who say, well, can I just do 10 minutes throughout the day? I'm like, no, you've got to put it all together to get that optimal hormone
you've
release.
You've got to keep going. And you know what the interesting thing is? Tell them, go until you start feeling a little bit of that, and we call it in medicine some euphoria.
Right.
That when you start, and usually it's after 20 minutes, by 30 minutes, certainly by 45 minutes, even if you're walking. But what I tell my patients is don't give up. In other words, even, okay, so you can only do the 10 minutes, but guess what? If you keep doing the 10 minutes every day, you know what you're going to see by day 2, 3, 4, 5, depending on your health status? You can actually get to the 15,
dramatic
20 minutes.
Improvement. Absolutely.
It's a shot in the arm of the best antidepressant, the biggest energizer. It's probably one of the reasons that we tell our patients, which some people have to, I know myself, try not to get on that treadmill too close to your sleep time, right?
Of course, right, because then you're up all night long.
You're going to be wired.
Yes, of
Absolutely.
Course.
Absolutely. Number four, and we talk about this a lot in terms of all the supplements. What do you take to boost your energy? And people talk about vitamin C, which you really can't go wrong with. You don't have to overdose on vitamin C. It's a great anti-inflammatory. People talk about making sure that they've got enough iron, that they're taking in good nutrients. But the number one thing that I think in this is going to be now vitamin D. So we've talked
really?
About this probably in every single top seven that has to do with optimizing all our diseases. Vitamin D, like dog, it's not a dog. It actually brings anti-inflammatory benefits to our body, and we've got to get our vitamin D levels up. So ask your doctor to check your 25-hydroxy vitamin D level.
You did mine.
And that's right.
Okay,
and,
right.
And surprise, surprise, even in sunny weather climates. And
that's just what I was about to ask you. I was like, what about the 15 minutes of sun at non-peak hours?
It's probably not enough. And we don't,
don't
understand why. And it, of course, comes with some risk of exposing skin to damaging effects and UV effects.
Right.
But here's the thing.
Right.
Globally, we don't understand why there is this epidemic of low vitamin D. Get your vitamin D in, even if you need a prescription strength of it. Make sure your doctor's monitoring it. Get into the optimal range because it's probably one of the best hormones because it's a hormone, actually.
I did not know. Vitamin D is a hormone?
It binds in binding proteins. We don't understand the full physiology yet of how all that works,
wow.
but it's a hormone, and it probably dictates more than we know in terms of all our organs and how they function optimally.
Oh, I had no idea about that. Now I'm like this. Do I need to be on the vitamin D? You thought I was okay, right?
You're okay, but we got to follow it because you got to keep that number up, and the number
right.
can dip. And obviously, in winter months, for all of us, it does go down.
Gotcha.
Okay, number five, eat protein. Now, why do I say this? Because what we know is that unless you're a marathon runner or Jillian Michaels or somebody who has a chance to do hardcore cardio exercise all the time, carbohydrates, and we need them, especially active children, are only quick energy surges. Protein is what gives us at least 4 to 6 hours of energy. And it's a really important thing to think about, because what happens is if you start off with a breakfast, which is part of this eating issue of you need a good, healthy start,
right,
that gives you energy, but make sure there's a protein in there. Even if you don't have, you know, let's say egg whites, even if you're a tofu person, even if you're somebody that just says, well, look, I don't want to do a lot of dairy, you've got to find a way. You have to, whether it's non-fat cottage cheese, non-fat yogurt, you've got to get protein in there. And likely, most of us who are active and who want to maintain a good energy all day need every 2 to 3 hours some small form of protein.
Okay.
If you do that, your energy doesn't drop. It stays stable because your blood sugar stays stable.
And does it matter if they're vegan? Because I'm so anti-soy, but if they're vegan,
yeah,
can they be getting that source from beans, or does it matter, or nuts, or does it have to be animal protein?
It can be beans and nuts, so
okay,
the almonds and walnuts have a lot of benefits, so
gotcha,
we can get it from those. But it's a lot of folks don't traditionally think of, let's say, starting with beans at breakfast and so forth.
I know,
we do
I know they don't.
At our house, we love it, actually, because to us it's a healthy start as well, but absolutely, absolutely important to know if you're vegan. You must, in my opinion, really confer with a nutritionist that you're getting enough protein.
Thank you, Dr. V. It's like so many people have just gone vegan because it's the trend, and they are not being guided appropriately in that endeavor.
Get a one-time consult. It really is worth it, especially when parents put children on these diets.
You've
got to be really careful. So make, you know, nothing wrong with it, because you can get your protein from vegetable sources, but make sure you're getting it because your energy will lag.
Gotcha.
So now I've got two others that are a little bit in a different realm. But number six, and it has nothing to do with what it's about, but it's number six, and that has to do with intimacy.
What?
Intimacy.
Okay. Janice is getting revved up.
So there's been some recent studies. In fact, recently in the University of North Carolina, I believe it is, they had even looked at some secretions of hormones from the brain, one in particular, oxytocin. And oxytocin is a brain neurotransmitter.
Was that the cuddle hormone, Dr. V?
Well, they call it the love hormone. But here's the thing. What we know is that if, as a couple, you're more intimate, but remember, I didn't say number six is sex.
Okay.
I said it's intimacy. Even a cuddle, even just having an embrace and embracing your children, which is love, right? All those things seem to stimulate oxytocin and probably a whole host of other hormones that in the long run we see give people not only a better sense of well-being, but people do better. They have more energy. They're more hopeful. They have less depression, less anxiety. It's an anti-anxiety issue as well. And in the long run, it might be a very important hormone, and research is ongoing in this, for women to combat cardiovascular stressors and heart disease. So
really?
That, yes. And
Janice, hold me.
I'm fascinated with this.
Okay.
So give your kids a hug. You know, hug your partners. Hug, you know, your wives, your husbands, like, you know, your boss, your colleagues, as long as it's all appropriate, make sure, and I say appropriate because we don't want anyone getting into any trouble and all of a sudden we get phone calls.
That'll be a fun lawsuit, Dr. V. That's
well, we're trying to steer away from that, but when it's appropriate and with your own family members, it's really important because we've seen, and this has been studied now in multiple studies, that intimacy and, of course, in couples, you know, sex and so forth, this really seems to give people an enormous amount of energy and well-being and reduces anxiety and for women may help heart disease. So it's critical.
Okay.
Now, number seven. So out of the top seven, there's a whole bunch of things.
The final seven?
Well, final seven. And remember, these are in no real order of importance.
Oh, okay, because I thought this was the finale.
No, it's not a finale because actually that's my main thing, right? Jillian, I think you're the same. This is all about moderation. Take little snippets in life, put them together, and weave your own beautiful network of how your life can be played out. But number seven is really important as well. And what we've seen more and more is it may actually become one of the most important things in all our lives for energy. And that is positive people around you. There's something called epigenetics, and it's when we look at how the genetics, like our DNA and our genes, actually change in the body based on, you know, how much sunlight we get, what chemicals are in our body, how those genes get translated or made into a protein, and that protein then acts on different receptors. And what we see is in people that are in environments where there's literally negative energy, and I'm not trying to sound like some, you know, wow, off-the-cuff person here because I'm an academic endocrinologist, but there's been studies that shows that if you're surrounded in negative energy, it does lead to depression, it leads to actually feeling exhaustion, it leads to probably some cancers, and I say probably because we haven't been able to prove that because there's so many factors in cancers. But what we know is if you can change your energy, if you can make sure that you're having, let's say, a struggle in the workplace, a struggle at home, bad friends, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, all these things that we kind of tend to as social animals get ourselves into that are often negative, stop it. Stop it now, because it is probably one of the biggest drains that you can do to your body. And it doesn't matter how well you eat. It doesn't matter how much you work out. It doesn't matter how many supplements you have. It doesn't matter how many hugs you get. If you're surrounded in a cloak of darkness, your life is going to be dragging. And I don't want to, again, make it too loosey-goosey.
It's not, though, Dr. V. You don't have to justify that. I mean, I think that mind-body medicine connection has been accepted. I mean, and it's like you've drawn that connection to how mood affects brain chemistry, which, of course, affects your physicality. And that makes perfect sense. And yet it's something that I would have not obviously gone to. To boost my energy, I'd be thinking, okay, hydration, right, I got it.
Right.
But this is the most, you're right, this is such a common sense thing when you put it all together.
Get rid of it. And you know what? We hereby give everyone permission to get rid of it because you don't need it. And guess
what
it's going to do? It's going to kill you.
That's exactly right. It is about giving people permission to change their environment and to boot out negative influences and be empowered in their own life.
Exactly.
Thank you for that.
So that's a really critical one. And if you do that and you do everything else, you know what? You're really going to optimize your power. You're going to optimize what you can get done in a day. You're going to have a vision. You're going to see a future, and you're going to have energy.
Dr. V, again, of course, thank you so much. And for those of you who are falling in love with the good doctor, know that we are going to be doing regular segments with Dr. V on the top 7, ranging from everything to what to find in your toilet and how to boost your energy. But Dr. V, please tell people where they can go to find you, contact you, learn about you in between.
The number 4, greatergood.org. And we're always available for questions. And we're drv.com. We've got a couple different sites. So drv.com is probably the easiest.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. V.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Jillian.
And you know I'll be talking to you soon.
Okay. That sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm so lucky because she's my doctor.
I know she is.
She is because I'm lucky.
She's a pretty lady, too.
I know. Dr. V, she's a rock star, man.
Very pretty.
She's what it's all about. All right, we're going to take a break and probably eat in between these next two things.
Yeah, you need some food.
I gotta eat. Yeah. Okay. Dr. V didn't mention that one, but I think that's a part of it, too.
Yeah,
but I'll have protein in my lunch, and then we'll be right back at you. Okay, I'm back from lunch. I had a little protein.
Yeah, a little snack. It's good.
You have your protein, Janice?
Thanks for giving me half your snack.
Energized?
That. Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, we're taking your calls right now. Pat, where's Patrick from?
Chicago.
Patrick from Chicago, you there?
I am here. I'm cold, but I'm here.
What's going on?
Not much, Jillian. First of all, I want to say thank you for taking my call. Huge fan. I loved everything that you're doing for all of us out there for like awareness and empowerment. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
my husband and I have 2 children, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And we try to incorporate, you know, exercise and healthy living. And as you can tell, like in Chicago, we do a lot of stuff inside a lot of times a year. We've always included them. And our daughter, Parker, who's 3, she loves doing it with us. And she's getting old enough that she understands what's going on.
That's
I think
great.
You might have saw a picture we put on your Facebook page of her doing yoga with you along with your DVD.
Oh, I love that. That's adorable.
And my biggest concern, though, is, you know, she really is getting into it, but she, you know, has started doing, like, you know, she wants to do push-ups with us and pull-ups with us. And I don't know, you know, I want to foster her love for fitness and exercise, but I don't know what's appropriate and what's pushing it too far.
Of course.
I don't want to hurt her physically.
Oh, honey, of course. You know, with kids, think about it like this. It's very normal for them to utilize their own body weight, because that's what they would do when they're sort of naturally playing outside, whether it's climbing trees, which is similar to a pull-up, or, you know, rolling around on the ground, doing gymnastics, wrestling with each other. All of that stuff is totally fine and totally healthy. It's when you start getting into, weightlifting or intense forms of exercise, like competitive gymnastics for long periods of time, where it can stunt their growth and things of that nature, when it's overly aggressive to that effect. That's when you need to sort of taper it off and be careful. But if she wants to jump in and do push-ups with you, or she wants to try a pull-up, and think about kids hanging from jungle gyms. You know what I mean? Try to go back to when you and I were kids and not everybody was on Facebook. Well, you sound like you're probably a lot younger than me, but nevertheless, still, I think when you were a kid, there probably was not Facebook. So with that said, you know, think of it as being like, it's okay for her to play and utilize her body weight and jump in. It's just when you get her in any kind of a sport that is potentially competitive, you just don't want to overdo it with regard to time. And don't add weights. You don't want her to weightlift. She's
right,
a kid.
Right. No, never.
You know, but I think it's, I love that she's being fit and she's being physical and she's having fun with you, and it's a family activity, which is all really positive, fantastic stuff. And if for some reason she does, you know, one of my other DVDs with you guys, just don't give her dumbbells.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. I think her swinging around the kettlebell might be a little scary.
Yeah, no kettlebells. I did, however, get a video on my Facebook of a little one, like a toddler, using her backpack as a kettlebell.
Oh,
it was very cute.
Idea.
Maybe like a little purse or something, and she gets stuffed animal kettlebell. What, Janice?
I'm sorry.
These are good ideas.
A little purse.
Little 3-year-old purses, little bags, little Birkins. No, I don't know.
Yeah,
you
I'll
know
get
what
right
I'm
on
saying.
That Jillian, her little baby Birkin. I'll get right on that.
Oh, no, you're taking shots at me too, I see. Jumping on the Janice bandwagon. For goodness sake. He's trying to do a good deed. This is what you get. No good deed goes unpunished between the two of you. Again, honey, I really have to commend you, though, for what you're doing. And I love that you called, by the way, just to like make sure, you know, that nothing was getting too crazy. But you sound like you're absolutely on the right track. There's nothing that sounds dangerous to me or out of the ordinary at all.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That means the world to me. And I got to tell you, like, you've really just inspired like our whole family just to change our lives. The Mastering Metabolism book, phenomenal. It just made everything.
You've actually
inspired me to go back to school to become a registered dietitian. So thank you for
really?
That. Really?
So. Fantastic.
I specialize in pediatrics. So thank you for that kind of push and helping me find that passion.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. And God knows, you know, we need all the people on this bandwagon that we can get. And having someone like you out in the world doing this kind of work is very encouraging to me. I'll sleep better tonight.
Well, that's an honor. Thank you.
Have a great day, sweetheart.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
Bye. What do you mean, little purse? 3-year-olds have little purses? I appreciate that. Oh, you've left the room. Now Janice has left the room, and I'm still yelling at her. Whatever. Hold on. We're getting another call. Mary in Baltimore?
Yes, it is.
What's going on?
Jillian, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay for a cold winter day in Baltimore, but I'm all right.
Oh, man, I hear you. Boy, that part of the country is just vicious.
It's cold. It's way too cold.
I hear you. I'll have you know that it's 76 where I'm at right now.
Oh, I know.
I
dreamed to live
bitch.
In that area one day.
I swear to you, I'm such a bitch. I had to rub it in.
That's all right. I'll allow you to be.
All right. With that said, how can I help you?
Well, I've had this issue, and I can't seem to correct it. I started out at 240 pounds probably about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I lost weight on like a Weight Watchers type plan.
Okay.
Got down to like 199, 197.
Mm-hmm.
I have absolutely frozen. It will not budge.
Okay. Easy for me. I got this one in the bag. Hold on. How tall are you?
About 5'3".
Okay, so you got some weight to lose. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And how long have you been plateaued?
Seriously, for about the last year.
Aha. Okay. Okay. So you're not physically plateaued. You're just somehow missing the mark here. Are you counting calories?
I am. I have as I take instruction from you guys all the time, I have a daily food journal, and I write everything that goes in my mouth. Even if it's something I'm not supposed to have, I write it down.
Okay, and how much are you consuming on it in a day? Even if it's something you're not supposed to have. So just no judgment. What do you think's happening?
Well, actually, I have my sheet from yesterday written down right in front of me, and I consumed 1,223 calories.
That's low. Okay. Is it usually that low?
It runs between 12. I don't let myself go over 1,379 because that's what I calculated by using the method with the, you know, the seven times your weight kind of thing.
Okay.
So I try not to go over that. I usually stay right around 12 to 1300.
Okay. And exercise, how much, how often?
Anywhere from 3 to 5 days a week, about an hour.
Are you kidding?
No.
Are you telling me that you're working out 3 to 5 days a week for an hour and you're eating 12 to 1400 calories?
Yep.
And you've been plateaued for a year?
I have not budged. I even hired a trainer, which didn't work out really well because it was like a wussy trainer that wouldn't push me, and she was afraid I was going to like fall off the treadmill.
Wussy trainer?
It was like a seriously bad situation. It's like, after that, I went out and bought all of your like DVDs and bought the Wii exercise for home because I was like, that trainer sucked.
Oh, no.
Oh,
it was awful. Okay.
Oh, man.
A sucky trainer. All right. So, buddy, if you're, and I'm not saying that you're not, if you're being totally truthful with me,
I am.
You got to go to the doctor.
Okay.
Something's off. So,
well, they said I've got a screwed up thyroid. It's kind of messed up. It's got like nodules and goiter type thing going on.
Oh, boom. There it is.
But you know, like, they won't put me on any medicine, and they don't understand that, like, this
weight
is not...
Who will not?
The endocrinologist refuses to put me on medicine.
Why? Do you know?
I have no clue. They didn't give me any reason for it.
Wait a second. You've got nodules, and you've got goiter, and you're creating a significant calorie deficit for over a year.
Yep.
The weight's not coming off. Right away, I immediately knew you had a hormone imbalance, because that's what happens when, you know, you rule out. It's like if you said you stopped counting calories, if you said you weren't working out, if you were at a goal weight and you were overdoing it. I go to all these factors. When I check all those off my list, I know you have a hormone imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, immediately, boom, go to the doctor. I already did. I got a hormone imbalance. It's science. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's very easy to sort of pinpoint what's going on with somebody when you rule out all the obvious factors. But with that said, now you have an established issue. What do you mean they didn't give you a reason for why they're not giving you?
They said that because my thyroid levels were like borderline normal, they wouldn't put me on any kind of medication. They said the other option was surgery, which I'm not up to, right? I don't want to have that right now because it's like not... You know, just not, I don't want to go under the knife just because.
Okay, the thyroid thing, though, that's very complicated. Which thyroid level? You've got TSH, you've got T3, you've got T4. You know, the process in which your body makes active thyroid hormone is very, very complicated. And basically, it starts in the pituitary, and it creates TSH, and then your thyroid has to grab it, and then it has to convert it into T4. There's a lot going on in that process. So, with, you know what I'm saying, they have to check all three of those levels, all three thyroid levels, to sort of figure out if, in fact, you know, they might be looking at your TSH, but they're not looking at your T4, so they're not recognizing that you're not converting it.
Okay.
So, but an endocrinologist usually would catch that. Like, if you were,
yeah, I mean,
if you were at a GP, I would say, oh, you need to see an endo, and that's where I think the breakdown is. But
I mean, she even did the biopsies and everything. She ran the whole gamut of things. But she's like, I guess she is not real big on doing the medicine thing. She wants it to try to work out itself. But
And I appreciate that completely.
Right.
But unless she's telling you, she's giving you other tools, as in avoid goitrogenic foods, stay away from soy, make sure that you're getting enough selenium and zinc. And checking, you know, to make sure that you have enough iodine, but not too much iodine. If she wants to handle this naturally, then she needs to handle this naturally. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And at the same time, it's not a bad idea for you to talk to an endocrinologist, because often they will put you on thyroid and taper you off of thyroid while you're pursuing natural alternatives, which is exactly what happened to me. I got diagnosed you know, they put me on a combination of T3 and T4, a low dose, and I immediately began to kind of research why my thyroid was messed up and what I could do, and saw naturopaths and registered dietitians and acupuncture people, and it completely changed my diet. Took out foods that were goitrogenic, estrogenic. Well, that's a little more complicated. Let's just say goitrogenic right now. I'm focusing on thyroid, and managed to rehabilitate my thyroid. But if you have goiter and nodules, this needs to be addressed.
Well, and not to mention a hysterectomy in 2007.
And you're are you on?
And yeah, I'm on a hormone patch. Yeah.
Okay, that could also be an issue.
Estrogen only patch.
All right. I really want you to see another endocrinologist, because that also, it can have a dramatic impact on, because we have three different kinds of estrogen in our body.
Mm-hmm.
And estradiol is the good kind, but it's complicated. It's like, if you don't have enough of the right kind of estrogen, you can't lose weight. If you have too much of the wrong kind of estrogen, you can't lose weight. I really would like for you to get a second opinion.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, we're going to get you Dr. Van Hurley's number as well, because I think that's going to really help you out. Janice, you're waving your arms at me. What?
No, we don't have much time left for the show, but we had one question. Oh, yes, we have an email question.
Oh, yes.
Okay, this is from Judy.
Oh, yes.
Judy says, what is your vice? She says when everyone gets nervous, a lot of people turn to something, alcohol, food, blah, blah, blah. But we put you on such a high pedestal.
I know, it's unfair.
You're up there. I can see your legs dangling, okay? It would be really cool if you had some vice and if you could tell what it is and how you work through it.
Wow, okay. What was her name again?
Judy.
Judy. All right. Judy, you're so sweet. First of all, do not put me on a pedestal. That would be a ginormous mistake. Because I will only disappoint you. But no one should be on a pedestal. Remember, we're all human. I was reading this stuff recently that was like, you're a role model. You have no business doing X, Y, or Z. And it's like, I'm not a role model. I'm just a person that knows a lot about diet and exercise. And in my opinion, pursuing your dreams and having them come true. And I just share that information. So, although I'm terribly flattered, be careful about putting people on pedestals, because you know, we're all equal. We're all the same. No one should be your hero. You should be your hero. And quite honestly, they will disappoint you. Everyone will disappoint you in your life. That's what happens. You know, we disappoint people, they disappoint us. But you know, the key is getting past it. So my vice, I'm wrong roundabout way. My vice, I've had various vices, obviously, throughout the course of my life. You know, obviously, we all know that I was an overweight kid, and I struggled with that. And I've learned how to work foods that are higher calorie into my daily calorie allowance. So, for example, you know, what I don't do is I don't eat food that's poisonous. And what I mean by that is I don't eat stuff with high fructose corn syrup. I don't eat stuff with trans fat. I don't eat stuff with MSG or artificial sweeteners. But what I will do is, like, I have Paul Newman's organic peanut butter cups. I have those. You know, they're 180 calories. Is it a diet food? No. Is it a superfood that's curing cancer? No. Is it causing cancer? No. So it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's what I call a five food. It's right in the middle. It's not going to save your life. It's not going to end your life. And I do it in moderation.
I remember that time you said that you liked those, and someone sent you some to the radio station, and I ate.
And you ate them all. Of course, I remember that.
I'm so sorry. Please.
You're like, I do, yeah. You're like, play with all my toys.
Said,
you're like the person that opens up the fridge and licks everything on the inside.
They said, please give these to Jillian, and I couldn't wait for you, and I ate them.
That's funny. Oh, get a good laugh in. Woohoo.
Okay,
you're done?
Okay, more of your
Paul,
vices.
Do you see what I deal with? It's amazing.
More of your here. Vices, no.
It's abusive.
Yeah.
I even had to share my protein snack with you. So angry right now. My point being, so for me, psychologically, I still love sugar. I'm not giving it up. I tried to give it up. I did. Didn't we go on that thing once on the show, Jay, where like if we decided for a week we would give it up or something like that?
Yeah.
And I decided it was for the birds.
Yeah. You did well.
Did I?
You did pretty good. I think you actually went the week without sugar.
Yeah, but I noticed no difference other than the fact that I was miserable.
You did. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the truth of the matter is with sugar, again, moderation. It's not going to kill you as long as you're moderate with it. It's not a toxic chemical. So, you know, I love chocolate. I love sweets. I just go with an organic kind without chemicals in it. And I work it into my calorie allowance. But I think my true vice is caffeine. Mm. Oh, my God. Oh, it's heaven. It's got to be how people found cocaine in the 80s. I mean, I tell you, it must have been, it is my absolute vice. It's my drug of choice. It is, the problem with me and caffeine is that there is a healthy way to ingest caffeine, of course, and it's called moderation. So when you have 400 milligrams of caffeine a day, which you got to think of, it's the equivalent of like two strong cups of coffee. You know, there are a host of health benefits associated with that. Not necessarily the coffee, but the caffeine in those doses have improved cognitive function, inhibits insulin resistance, theoretically fights pancreatic cancer. Dr. Oz, we've all seen Dr. Oz talk about coffee in moderation or caffeine in moderation. But for me, I was significantly abusing it. I mean, it was like two fat burners in the morning with a double shot of espresso, two fat burners in the afternoon with a triple Americano, you know, whatever. I mean, it was bad. I was getting at least 1,200 milligrams of caffeine a day. And I went to the doctor and they did a bone density check on me, and it's like my bone density in my hips was below average because caffeine in those kinds of high doses leaches calcium from the bones. So what I have done, and by the way, it's not to say now I understand what it's like to have been a drug addict or an alcoholic, because it's like I never stop missing it. There's not a moment where I don't wake up in the morning and wish my tea was coffee. When I see people at like the Starbucks or the, you know, and it's like the smell of it, the ritual of it, the high of it, because it is a crazy high. I feel like I'm not on. I feel like I'm not as interesting. I feel like I'm not as powerful without it. Isn't that wild? Yeah. It is. I mean, I want a coffee right now.
There's a romance to it.
Oh, my God.
You romanticize the caffeine.
Especially it's like, you know, when you're around other coffee drinkers and it's just vicious. But with that said, what I've done is switched over to tea. I switched over to organic tea, and I had to wean myself off of it slowly because, the headaches, I thought my brain was going to burst into two pieces. So, or a million pieces for that matter. So I now work it in, and I've learned how to moderate it, and I allow myself to have the black tea. I get one fat burner in the morning and one fat burner in the afternoon, and that sort of combination brings me to 400 milligrams, and you know, and it's like I deal with it because I think to myself, well, my bone density is kind of more important to me at the end of the day. You know, I don't want to be 50 with an artificial hip in there or something. So, you know, everything, the answer to your question is balance. That's what it is. That's the answer to your question. It's balance. It's finding that middle ground. So, you know, it's not the Snickers bar and the Reese's peanut butter cups, but it might be 200 calories worth of the brownies in my cookbook, Master Your Metabolism. I'm obsessed with those. Or it could be the Paul Newman's peanut butter cups. Or it could be this chocolate peanut butter coconut ice cream stuff that I love. And it's like, you know, it's all organic, and I have 200 calories of that. And when it comes to the caffeine, I have 400 milligrams of it a day. I work these things in with balance so they're not destructive in my life, and I don't feel deprived. And then when it comes to other coping mechanisms, simultaneously, I seek things that are constructive. So whether it's getting a manicure, pedicure that makes me feel, you know, pretty, or I'll go and, you know, go for a ride on my horse, which makes me feel good and releases stress, I simultaneously find other ways of releasing stress that are constructive instead of destructive, that make me feel nurtured. So I'm not nurturing myself with things that are dangerous, like alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, ridiculously copious amounts of caffeine. And that's how I personally bring the balance. Yeah.
I thought that was good.
Thank you.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Thank you for being so honest with us today. We really appreciate that. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming to the show. No, we gotta go.
Hook? Oh.
Yeah.
Cutting me off. Is the hook just going across the stage?
You gave Judy much more than we ever thought you'd offer her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You really laid it out.
We could talk about when I was 3 and used to wet the bed.
No, please. Let's save that for another show.
Oh.
Let's save that for a whole segment on its own.
But you appreciate my candor.
Yes, I do. Very much so.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dearness is making me end the show. So, peace.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.